From the American College of Cardiology, this is Dr. Kim Eagle, ACC.org Editor-in-Chief with this week's Eagle's Eye View. This is your weekly cardiovascular update from ACC.org. I've chosen four articles to talk to you today about, each from the COVID-19 experience and illustrating different facets of this pandemic. I'm recording this podcast on Monday morning, June 1st, 2020. The first paper is a study looking at remdesivir for the treatment of patients with severe COVID-19, randomized trial, New England Journal of Medicine, looked at outcomes from a 5-day course versus a 10-day course. These patients were hospitalized adults. It was an open-label, randomized, multicenter trial. Patients had to have a low O2 sat and have radiographic evidence of COVID-19 infection in the lungs. They were not on mechanical ventilation or ECMO at the time of enrollment. And they measured their outcome looking at clinical improvement on day 14 using a 7-point ordinal scale, 1 equals death, 7 equals discharge, and basically ranges in between. Roughly 200 patients enrolled in each arm. The median age was about 61. Two-thirds were men, 70% were white, 30% were African-American or Hispanic. And they looked at overall outcomes. By 14 days, 8% in the 5-day group had passed versus 11% in the 10-day group. And basically, they concluded that when you looked at overall outcomes, there appeared to be no significant difference between a 5-day course of intravenous remdesivir versus a 10-day course. It's a small trial, but it is, again, further evidence that we need as we start to tease out who may benefit from this antiviral and for how long to treat. Right now, 5 days appears to be as good as 10 days. Switching gears now, I'm going to talk about a paper that was just published. It's a human trial looking at a vaccine. Obviously, this is the huge holy grail that we're all hoping for with this pandemic. And all of us are going to become more familiar with vaccine trials and mechanisms of vaccine therapy as well as response. So this is an open-label, non-randomized trial of 3 different doses looking at the safety and immunogenicity of an AD5 vectored COVID-19 vaccine. 36 patients received a low dose, 5 times 10 to the 10th particles. The second group of 36 received a medium dose, 1 times 10 to the 11th viral particles, and the last group, a high dose, 1.5 times 10 to the 11th of viral particles. And this was primarily a safety study and looked at immunogenicity at 7 days. Also, abnormal laboratory measures and adverse events were measured at about a month. And the primary endpoint was immunogenicity as measured by antibody responses to the receptor binding domain and the spike glycoproteins on the COVID virus. About 80% of the patients had at least one adverse reaction within a week. The most common were pain, fever, and fatigue, as well as headache and muscle pain. Most of these were mild or moderate. And there was really no difference at the various doses. A mild elevation in liver function tests were seen, 8%, but none were thought to be significant. Rapid binding antibody response were seen to the receptor binding domain across all 3 doses. And the higher dose group did have a higher binding antibody titer. At least a 4-fold increase in the anti-RBD antibodies was detected in more than 94% in all 3 groups. Neutralizing antibody titers peaked at 28 days post-vaccination, and there was a stepwise increase according to the vaccine dose. Pre-existing immunity to the AD5 was common, and this attenuated the increase in neutralizing antibody. It looked like recipients age 45 to 60 had a lower seroconversion rate compared to younger. And this would suggest, of course, that the immune response in younger patients is more robust than those of us who are older. So I think it's a very important early study looking at 3 different doses of a COVID-19 vaccine. A single dose of the vaccine elicited a 4-fold increase in the neutralizing antibody response in 50 to 75% of the participants, and also activated CD4 and CD8 T cells. Obviously, this is a temporary response and is heavily attenuated by pre-existing immunity. So as time goes by, these vaccine trials will be coming out. And I want to cover them because I think cardiovascular specialists are going to be expected to understand the vaccines, the differences between the various types, the response, and our patients are going to be desperate for our advice about taking vaccines, which ones work, which ones have the best evidence, and so forth. The third article I wanted to just mention was a paper that came out in Annals of Internal Medicine this week, and it looked at ventilation techniques and risk of transmission of coronavirus. It's a really nice review. And many of us deal with critically ill patients in ICUs, and ventilation is clearly a big part of this, particularly for COVID. And this review really looked at what is the evidence about different types of ventilation, and particularly asked the question, what about non-invasive ventilation versus invasive ventilation versus high-flow oxygen by nasal cannula? And I think it's important to note that using non-invasive ventilation may reduce mortality or the need for invasive mechanical ventilation, but be aware that the use of non-invasive ventilation must be balanced against the risk of spreading the virus to other healthcare workers. Non-invasive ventilation tends to have a more robust release of airborne droplets in the room, and this, of course, makes it more likely, perhaps, that clinicians taking care of these patients would be at risk for exposure. So lots to learn about the best methods of ventilation, but this is a nice review, and I recommend it to you. Now, the last paper I want to talk about is a paper from the New England Journal this week looking at hospitalization and mortality among black patients versus white patients with COVID-19. And this has gotten a lot of press, as it should. So this analysis looked at patients in an integrated healthcare system in Louisiana for 6 weeks beginning March 1st. And they looked at patients who tested positive for COVID-19, and then what happened. The overall health population was 31% black and 65% white, non-Hispanic. Primary outcomes looked at here were hospitalization and in-hospital death. So they followed 3,481 COVID-positive patients in the analysis. This is a community study. 60% were female, 70% in this were black, non-Hispanic, and 29.6% were white non-Hispanic. So obviously black patients had a much higher prevalence of getting the virus. They had more obesity, they had more diabetes and hypertension and chronic kidney disease. About 40% of the patients were hospitalized, and 75% of these were black. When they looked at multivariate analysis, black race, older age, higher score of comorbidity, public insurance, and residents in a low-income area, as well as obesity, were more likely among those who got hospitalized. And among patients who died, 326, roughly 10%, 70% were black. With increasing age, higher respiratory rate, elevated level of biomarkers, low platelet counts, etc., these were the variables that predicted increased mortality. But black race was not independently associated with higher mortality. So this study really concludes that black race was not associated with higher in-hospital mortality after you adjust for various clinical and socio-demographic characteristics. So it really shows us clearly blacks are overrepresented among all patients who died in the hospital, but black race itself was not associated with higher mortality. And this gets at the types of situations that we have with black and Hispanic patients. They may bring more comorbidities to the table, particularly hypertension, diabetes, obesity, CKD. And it's not race, but these other comorbidities that are particularly related to mortality. So that's a quick survey of four articles on COVID-19 this week. Obviously, we continue to learn day by day, week by week about this virus and how best to combat it. So I've covered today a couple of articles that looked at one a vaccine, one looking at remdesivir as therapy, one looking at some thoughts about ventilation in the patients, and finally, a study looking at mortality in black patients from Louisiana. I want to thank you for listening to Eagle's Eye View this week. The articles and the journal scans pertaining to these comments are on our website. Please visit the COVID-19 website on acc.org. It's fabulous. It has all kinds of resources for you, and I think you'll enjoy seeing it. I hope you have a very good and safe week. It's a pleasure for me to provide you this podcast every week, and I look forward to talking to you again next week. Thank you.